ladies and gentlemen, we're going to drop in with functional training expert Daralk, who trains real-life heroes like Navy SEALs, firefighters, law enforcement. And then he also trains heroes from the Marvel Universe, like Thor. You may know him in real life as Chris Hemsworth. He is a certified strength and conditioning specialist with a Bachelor of Science in Kinesiology. He is also the creator of Raw Functional Training, RFT, which is a revolutionary approach to movement. I have to say, in this podcast, we jumped into the importance of multi-plane movement, functional training, and the role of mental processing in performance. He really understands the balance between intensity and recovery. And like me, leans in today's world, we all need to be focusing on recovery. I enjoyed this podcast and this conversation. I smiled ear to ear, if you happen to watch it on YouTube, the whole time, just because he's so charismatic and just a lovely human being. So let's jump in, friends.
Welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we explore the survivor's journey, practitioners making a difference, and the therapeutic treatments and transformational technology that allow the body to heal itself. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken Podcast. We're here with another episode, and today we're going to go deep on elite levels of human optimization and fitness. We have our guest, Daralk.
Work. Oh, man. He's laying the ground going deep. All right, brother. I got to get rid. Good thing I have my coffee. Four shots, bro. Ready? Let's go.
There you go, man. Well, listen, I had my single cup this morning and, you know, I was reading on you all week because when I have a guest on, I like to do as much homework as I possibly can. And dude, your prowess in fitness is incredible. You must have said, Daralk, I'm just going to make a playoff Hulk and I'm just going to be as big as the Incredible Hulk because you're massive.
No, dude. No. It's the name is funny because the name came from some of my Brazilian friends. So because of some of my strength, et cetera, they used to call me Hulk. But in Portuguese, the H is pronounced with the R, right? With the R sound. So that's where it looks like Rolk with everything. So everyone started calling me Rolk. Outside of Brazil, everyone speaks Portuguese. Everyone calls me Rolk. And then because of my ties with Hawaii, in Hawaii, like when you're like, hey, here comes the guy, here's the guy. So that's where the role came from. But yeah, it's been a long time coming. But yeah, it's just pretty much like I just accepted it and rolled with it. So
yeah, I mean, I also saw that, you know, some of your clientele, dude, you trained Thor.
Yeah, Chris is a good dude, man. Chris is a good guy. He's not very attractive, but it's okay. I just try to type my eyes and close them when I work with him. But yeah, he's a great dude. I got a chance to work with him on the Center app that did really, really well. And we're really proud of that. But he's just a dude, so good. All those guys, Brolin, Hemsworth, they're great dudes. But it's like hanging out with a bunch of young kids. You know what I mean? It's just running around. It's like, it's all like elementary school comedy.
Yeah, that's the best comedy.
The best comedy, bro.
Dick and fart jokes.
That's right.
I love it. So how did you first get amped up into fitness and when did you want to understand the potential of the human body?
You know, it's interesting. I started off, my educational background is in kinesiology. I have an emphasis on biomechanics, but my focus always was understanding the adrenal system and how we organize the nervous system. So when I was in school, there were a lot of people interested in the 300-pound guy that could lift 5,000 pounds. I was more fascinated with the 9-year-old woman that lifted the car off her grandkids. I was like, how did that happen? Like, how do you do that? I mean, to me, that's where we were like, there must be something else deeper than it. So understanding it, when I focused on my sequencing curriculum, which I created, which is RFT, Raw Functional Training, it's an acronym. It was all how sequencing a movement directly correlates to the management of your adrenal system and organizing your nervous system, et cetera. And I started working, although I work with a lot of elite athletes, and I was blessed to work with in pretty much all genres, from NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, UFC, etc. I was always fascinated with the first responder community. You know, my dad was a law enforcement officer for a number of years, 26 years. He did a lot of amazing things in his career. Then he went to DA's office and did a bunch of other stuff. But I grew up around, that's what I grew up around, is first responders, fire, police, etc. So I used to see the police officers and firefighters, and they're in great shape, and they would be complaining that they couldn't perform, even though they physically looked amazing, they couldn't perform on the job. And so that was something that fascinated me to begin with, you know, like whether you do any elite athlete or anyone that was put into situations. So physically you are at your optimum, but you can't perform under pressure. So a lot of people would then focus in on the psychology of it, right? Sports psych. And like I said, from a psychological standpoint, I think it's great, but there's also something happening neurologically. There's also something happening from that standpoint. So for me, I was always fascinated in that genre, in that capacity, understanding optimization, understanding resilience. And those guys in the first responder community are elite athletes. They just don't win or lose games. Their focus is life and death, right? So I was like, well, that's something I definitely want to get into. And then I started working with law enforcement to start. So I work with a lot of the academies, a lot of the SWAT teams, ACT divisions, etc. Then I was blessed to work with a lot of the fire departments and city, county, wildland, all the municipalities, different departments across the country. And then I worked with a lot of the elite military. So I've worked with SEALs and Rangers and Marine Raiders and guys in Top Gun, etc. So I've been very blessed to work in that aspect, but in the heart of it, I'm a nerd and a scientist. So, I mean, I'm always a biomechanist. So I'm always looking at how is it I'm trying to break it down, optimization, figuring it out. And I'm finding that everyone's now at this point where they're trying to understand, you know, how do I optimize my physical and mental collaboratively, right? How do I do it so that both operate at a high level? So it's always, I'm always a student of the game, always learning, but yeah, man, it's been a fun journey. It continues, right? The journey continues, just like yourself, Freddie. It's just like, it's never ending. It's never ending. The quest for knowledge is always there.
It's what keeps me going, and it's what pulls me out of bed in the morning with a level of excitement that I couldn't sell that. I couldn't bottle it. I'm really honestly stoked to get up and do the work I do.
Great.
And because I get to put it on myself, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I talk about this a lot on the podcast, just like having like a retroperitoneal lymph node dissection and all these abdominal surgeries. So for me, fitness has been, it's been phases of recovery, functionality, regaining bowel function. And now I'm into the place where I'm starting to be able to really get into functional mechanics. So, you know, when I grew up, it was like, I remember first finding the gym and I was like, we were doing bench presses with all my buddies. And we're like, after like 7 weeks, we were like, we have pecs. You know, I was like, I remember being like, and everybody would just stand after their bench press. They were like, I just want it to stay like this, you know, because it was cool. You're like, look what my body can do. And now it's like that understanding of the gym was like, okay, there's a squat, there's a deadlift, there's a press, there's a pull. And that was sort of it. And if I think about that movement,
right,
it's very limited on what planes those exercises exist on. And you see a lot of guys that are big and built these days, but there's limited functionality. So how do you address that in the gym? How do you work on those multi-plane movements? Like, what's your belief system on that?
Well, it's interesting, man. I think you always have to have a multidimensional approach, right? You don't want to be one-dimensional, even from the standpoint of movement and the planes of movement. And interesting how we got introduced is the guys over at Burn, right? The Burn boards. And the Burn boards are such an amazing piece of equipment. Those two guys, Jimmy John, are just great guys to begin with. But the idea and the concept of working on that plane of movement is so huge. We just focus so much on the sagittal plane, like moving forward and that sort of thing. So we don't really work a lot of lateral movement. We don't work a lot of multi-directional movements, right? And so for us, and that's really the core aspect of functional training. You hear functional training so much. When I first came up, when we were saying functional training, people were like, that doesn't even make sense, you know? And now it's kind of like a buzzword that everyone utilizes. But really, to be truly functional, not only from a mental and physical capacity, is that you have to be multidimensional. You have to work on your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that we live in a 4D world, right? We're always moving in different directions. So if you're just focusing on one, you're actually starting to create more of a disparity in different strengths and weaknesses. And because of that, then you have aspects of your training where you're vulnerable, where you're vulnerable to injury, right? Mm-hmm. You're vulnerable to various aspects there. And then also from a performance standpoint, you're not going to be as strong. You're not going to generate as much power, inertia. And, you know, people focus so much on mobility, which is great. You know, I think mobility, I'm a huge proponent of mobility, but dynamic mobility and being able to push energy and intensity through mobility is something where that's the next step, right? It's great to be able to stretch laterally. It's great to be able to touch your toes and stuff. But can you do that with a bit of dynamic intensity? Because that's real life, right? And yeah. So products like the Burn Board are huge. I think they're game changers. I think people haven't seen it, but people are very hungry to know more about it because there's a myriad of benefits to it outside of just, you know, making your muscles stronger. You know, there's regulation aspects to it. You know, sensory processing is such a major aspect of my training and my core foundation that understanding how that regulation helps us, you know, it balances us mentally and physically. So yeah. I think everything's tied together. I think people have focused so long on kind of, you know, one aspect of compartmentalizing fitness or compartmentalizing movement and understanding that it's all interwoven and that you have to work on all aspects of it is hopefully opening the door for people to kind of get more of a comprehensive outlook on not only their overall performance, but from an everyday perspective, overall wellness, right? Because we want to be the versions of ourselves. And in order to do that, we have to work on our weaknesses and do things that we're not accustomed to doing.
Yeah, that's right. I would love an example of an exercise because what I'm hearing you say is it's great to stretch. Like I'm imagining like a lateral lunge, but how do you apply like dynamic strength at the end range of that motion? Like, can you give me an example of an exercise where you're going to put that on a body?
Are you talking about on a burn board or just are you talking?
Anything. Well, we could use burn board. If the audience at home, a burn board is it's a big composite material. It's a resin with two boards at the end. You're going to put on booties and you're going to, just like a figure skater, you're going to do these lateral lunge slides, which is so fun, by the way.
Not Freddy, I never do. You know, my buddy Apollo Ono, who's, you know, he's just a weapon, Olympic legend. But he's associated with the guys from Burn. But he's like, dude, get you in the Olympics. I'm like, bro, no way. I'm trying to get on that thing. I literally look like a 5-year-old that was just on skates for the first time when I got on. In fear of falling or tearing stuff. But yeah, I mean, generating power is always a key issue. I mean, I think for me, though, I've always been, a lot of people see my RFT movements and they go, oh, is it like an animal flow? Not specific. I mean, there's aspects to it that look like animal flow, but it's really not. There's a vast difference because for me, it's purpose-driven movement, right? It's why we do it. But a lot of the movements that we generate are for regulation to help, you know, not only build specifically like for aesthetic training or hypertrophy training, we tend to isolate a muscle. We go, hey, we're going to work hamstrings or quads or biceps or triceps. But a lot of my movements are understanding movement, actually moving in a plane of motion, sagittally, you know, laterally, frontal plane, whatever you're doing, we want to make you more powerful in that. And everything has to work together. So from a functional perspective, I think understanding what that is, if people are like, hey, can you explain the difference between just overall strength training and functional strength training? And I think, you know, it's hard because a lot of times strength training is isolating one specific movement to get very strong at doing one specific movement over and over and over again. But for me, it's now the second chapter of that would then be, okay, let's try to incorporate different movements, different muscles, different intensity flows, right? Different positionings, etc., where we have to activate different muscles and they learn to work together.
Yeah.
Right. And so for me, that's like the second chapter. Then of course, me for the neuro side of it, third is like, now you get into the processing. When like, okay, let me take it to the next level, like deciding and being able to process information, right? Organize information and then execute motor planning while you're doing motion. It's always like, it's kind of like the juggling aspect, right? You can throw one ball in the air. Okay, there's two balls in the air. Can you throw three balls in the air? Four. And the better you are, you're just being able to have better hand-eye coordination, better processing speed, better reactive speed, better, you know, accuracy. Those are aspects that I'm fascinated with, because I think you're always so, in our fitness industry, we're so focused on bigger, faster, stronger for so long, right? Get bigger, get faster, get stronger. And there's definite benefits to it. Don't get me wrong. I think it's huge and a huge aspect. And I'm a proponent of all that. But if you don't focus on the processing, if you don't focus on the computer, the steering wheel, on what's happening, the size of the car doesn't matter anymore, right?
Yeah.
And find more of that from athletics or whatever. It's good. Like, guys are like, dude, I can lift 600 pounds, I could deadlift 600 pounds, but then I went out camping, I was moving stuff, and I pulled my back. I can't, you know, because they're just not accustomed. The body is not accustomed to moving that way. You get guys, oh, I pulled my back lifting, dropping my keys when I was picking up my groceries. It's just they're not accustomed to doing that, or having to focus on other things. Or so it's just, like I said, it's always for me identifying ways to strengthen the neuro side of things and how it talks to the body and how we all collectively work together to create this synergistic power sequence.
Yeah. Give me an example when we're talking, let's just say it's a 45-year-old male, relatively good shape. Do you have like a couple exercises that are your absolute favorite to incorporate in a training regime?
You know, I love, of course, we talk about outside the crawl is such a huge movement. It's a body weight movement. It's a foundation of movement. We've all crawled as babies. We learned, you know, to stand. Like, we crawl to sit up to stand to walk to run, kind of a thing, right? Mm-hmm. So understanding crawling and all the aspects and the benefits of it, not only physically from, you know, shoulder stability, hip stability, core strength, but from the nervous system standpoint and affecting your adrenals and everything that's going on with that, right? Mm-hmm. So crawling is always something I try to incorporate. People are like, how do I do that? I mean, you could just do a 5-meter crawl up and back in between a power set, right, that you're doing with a barbell or dumbbell or a kettlebell. And you start to see, wow, my system is trying to figure it out. Because your body's always trying to figure out movement patterns. As you know, Freddie, it's always trying to figure out, okay, we are inherently love habit. Habitual. Like, we like routine. No matter, people are like, oh, I don't like routine. You do. You like some kind of regular. Your routine is no routine, kind of a thing, right? There's some kind of a habit if you dissect everybody. So understanding that if you're doing something, if you're doing a lot of weight training, incorporate some body weight movements intermittently in between sets, compound them through supersets, etc., and you'll start to see a huge advantage, because then you're working not only your anaerobic system, but you're also working your aerobic system. And there's just a ton of stuff that we can do there. So,
yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm also so interested in this like longevity game. And I wonder, from your experience, there's got to be an energetic cost to DNA repair, methylation, how the body ages. With what is that right amount of exercise to, like you said, keep you in a state that you are that 90-year-old grandma who can lift a car? Like, I'm always said, I was like, I just want to go grocery shopping on my own.
Yeah.
In my 90s. I think that would be a great flex.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with you, brother. I think it's very interesting, because whenever you're getting into situations and you're starting off on a program, right? And guys that are like, you know, how do you do that? And I think it's not so much about intensity. We focus so much on intensity, right? It's been pushed into it. And I love the CrossFit community. I think it's great. Mm-hmm. I think CrossFit is great in a lot of ways, but smashing people, you know, will get stronger from it. Yes, you will, but your cortisol goes through the roof, and you just, you know, you're just consistently in inflammation. You're kind of in a consistent inflammatory state, right? Mm-hmm. Your body have to be able to balance that and allow your body to repair itself as well, because you're just beating yourself up to a pulp. So I think understanding that there has to be balance, and people don't necessarily like that. They just like to go full throttle, but balance is important. So understanding and kind of looking at sleep patterns and looking at recovery, I think that's where anytime there's an ebb and flow. And I think whenever there is such a huge push over the course of the last 15, 20 years on intensity and finding ways to crush yourself, that you see now how much people are hungry to learn more about recovery. How do I reduce my pain? How do I reduce my inflammation? I have an autoimmune issue. I've like forced it. My body is like, it's just going, it's fighting itself because I've just beat the hell out of it. Right.
Yeah.
So understanding that it's great to have high level of intensity, but it's better to have consistent balance. Mm-hmm. So consistency of balance is important. In order to have that consistency, that's the hardest thing. I've worked with so many elite athletes. I've worked with so many elite, you know, first responders and military and fire and police, et cetera. And I've talked to them. I've had candid dialogues with them. And doing things at a high level of intensity is not that challenging to them. They can do it. But the hardest thing that they're always going to say is being able to be consistent. Can you day in, day out, do it? And to be honest, that's where we see the best benefits. People do things and they run out. They're like, I'm not getting what I want fast enough. I'm going to pivot and switch gears. And they never realize that they're 5 yards away from seeing some success.
Yeah.
But like, it's too hard. I'm going to pivot. And what I try to preach to all my guys, that's what we talk about resilience. We talk about, perseverance. And these are character traits that you want to inherently adapt into every workout that you do. So consistency is key. So for the person that's always feeling like, I'm just getting beat up, consistently, you can train hard. You want to train hard. You don't want to, you want to go full throttle, but you also got to go full throttle on your recovery. You got to go full throttle on your mobility. Your set protocol has got to be on point, right? Your nutrition's got to be dialed in. Mm-hmm. And people, oh my God, it's too much, right? Usually if you're, it's too much. I don't want to think about all that stuff. I just want to work out hard. Because to be honest, out of all those things, the easiest thing to do is just work out. I mean, people are like, it's hard. It is hard, but it's a lot easier than eating clean. It's a lot easier than getting an adequate amount of sleep and putting down your phone. It's a lot easier. There's a lot of things that people are like, well, that is kind of hard. You're going to find more people that are like, can you work out hard one time? Yeah, they can do it. But can you sleep consistently over the course of the next 2 weeks? Can you do this? Can you eat like this? Can you take these set protocols? Can you stretch, do mobility work? Can you do breath work, meditations? Oh, no, I don't have time. Right. So I think that's where people have to reinvest in themselves and understand, hey, I'm worth it and I got to do it. If you want to be that 90-year-old woman, it's the consistency that's going to get you there. It's not the intensity.
Yeah, I would join with you on that. I think it's, I unfortunately, just because the people that are drawn to this podcast or people that are also been through some really, really hairy medical stuff.
Right.
That's the other avatar that I'll say is inspired into making all these changes because they're sick enough.
Yeah.
And there'll be a lot of times that people say, they're like, I'm not ready to do what you do. And I'm like, you're not sick enough yet. You will be. Unfortunately, you're on 3 medications to shut down your immune system right now. I don't think this gets better in your 70s and 80s. And yeah. So it's like, I invite people, you don't have to wait until something horrible happens. Like you can layer on one thing today. And I'm always amazed at how quality of life changes.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't want to get in the ice bath this morning. It's cold here in Texas. When you right. wake up in the morning and it's colder outside in the air than the ice temperature, you're like, we dip into the 30s and I'm like, oh, the 40 degree water, the 38 degree air temperature, ambient. I'm like, and I know myself, I was like, my body's just not going to warm up. I didn't want to do it, didn't feel good about it. And I was like, you got to do it, bro. Like there's no camera, nobody's there cheering me on. I'm not making a social post of it. Those are the tough times for me, which I'm always like, I wonder if other people struggle like this, talking themselves into doing this, thing that we know is good, but it sucks. Right. And that's the battle.
It's so interesting, brother. More recently, people look at like a guy like Dave Goggins. Dave's amazing. Dave's a great dude. And they're like, dude, look at Dave. He's just doing hard things, really, really hard things all the time. And there's a benefit. You're learning to it. And then he had a recent conversation with Andrew, Drew, like Andrew Huberman. And they were talking about different aspects. And I love that they started to touch on the neuro side of things because people want to go, okay, so doing hard things, how is that even going to help me? Right? How is that helping me? I want to understand it. And when you start to dissect it and we start talking about the, anterior mid-cingulate cortex aspects of the brain and what's going on in the brain, it's an aspect, an interesting part of the brain that, for example, in people that are obese, it's smaller, but when they go on a diet, it grows, right? In athletes, it's larger. For people that are going through a challenge and they overcome that challenge, it grows as well. But just as quickly as it grows, if you seek comfort, it shrinks again. So it's fascinating to me that as we age, I always say aging is like the pursuit, aggressive pursuit of comfort.
Yeah.
We want to be comfortable. And unfortunately, not understanding when we talk about neurologically that anterior cortex is, it's interesting because that aspect of the brain is important for the will to live, to want to be stronger, to live, you know, and that is always been a fascinating thing to me, right? Understanding aspects of the brain and what's actually going on, because people want to know why. More people than anything are like, why? What am I going to do that? Why? Why should I eat like that? Why should I do that? But when there's some efficacy behind the fact that this is what's actually happening neurologically, and it's been proven in peer-reviewed studies, and it's understanding and people see it, it's okay, let's start to train this. And that's the hard part, is that people think the quality of life is about comfort, and it's not. The quality of life is consistently changed, because life is hard. It will throw things at you, as you know, unexpectedly, that you're not prepared for. And if you have not trained that way, and if you not have, you know, put yourself through a little bit of adversity every single day, you get soft, and then you're vulnerable. And you're vulnerable to not only, you know, mental resilience, but you're also, you know, vulnerable to disease, you're vulnerable to injury, you're vulnerable to all these things. And I think, you know, for me, as a man, as a father, you get into a situation where you want to make sure that you're laying the tracks and the groundwork for your kids. You want to make sure that you're like, hey, this is how you do it. And you want to create great humans that are going to, you know, be able to contribute to society. But if anything, you know, one thing that I can't promise my kid, my kids like ask me all the time, what's going to happen? How's this going to happen? What's going to happen? And I'm like, I cannot promise anything to my kids outside of they're going to face adversity. That's the one promise I know 100% you guys will face adversity. And if I don't prepare them and let them understand, how do I face that? How do I face adversity? Whether that be personal adversity, family adversity, health, mental health, whatever the case, injury, disease, whatever the case is, then I feel like I'm not prepared, doing my job and preparing them for what it is. And if there is one thing that I, you know, a lot of people that are listening to your podcast have gone through tremendous adversity, whether that be physical, mental, whatever, loss, whatever the case is. But when you overcome it, you're like, oh, I got stronger, I got through it. It's because your body learned that it's okay. Like, I can do it. I can get through it. And then we seek comfort. And I think, me included, we all seek comfort. We want to be, when we're cold, we want to be warm. When we're hot, we want to be cold. You know, when we're sleepy, we want to sleep. We want to do what we want. And understanding that it's not always the case. You have to make sure that you maintain control and you dictate the navigation of your life. And in order to do that, I think it's important that you put yourself through these micro periods of adversity. And that's where the cold water immersion helps. Like, that's like taking time to invest in yourself. Lots of times I tell people, it's like buying life is a lot like health and fitness is a lot like putting tires on your car. Most people just put the new tires on. They're stoked. They'll drive the hell out of it. And they're like, oh, we can go a little longer. Look at it. It's fine. Like, the tires are good. There's still a little bit of tread on there. And you go and you go and you go. And the only time anyone changes their tires is if it looks like it's going to explode, or you get a nail in it and you're like, oh, okay, let's just switch them all out. No one ever tracks, like, how long have I been doing it? How I've been driving it? They don't ever look at that aspect of it. And it's so much, that analogy, it's so much about how life is. Like, we do our health and we're like, oh, we're fine. I sleep okay. I eat all right. I walk around. I should be fine. And then when they face adversity, they're just like, oh, man, they're not able to overcome it like they want to. And it's just fascinating. I mean, to me, that's something that we need to address, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it brings me into, I just want to touch a little bit on recovery and your thoughts on that. You know, sure. When you talk about the intermittent periods of, like, this intense hormetic stressors, you know, I'm always reminded of the seasons that a fruit or a vegetable would grow in, that there would be times when the field is totally barren. There's times when it's fruiting. And we do need to give ourselves that rest period, whether it's daily. But I do think there's something to this season. Like, I look outside and the leaves are bare and it's cold. And there is an impetus. There is a calling or a whisper from another nature to be like, yo, you can hibernate.
You can have a little extra belly fat right now. You know, we're not gearing up for a photo shoot. And so I would love to hear your ideas on like recovery, specifically, like, what do you do? What do you lean into to recover?
I don't know. It's interesting, man. Seasonally, I think we forget about the seasons, right? We try to do, and it's hard to stay consistent. I'm not saying you have to do the same thing from January 1 to December 31st, but you have to stay consistent on doing something. And so when you talk about, you know, we eat differently in the summer than we do in the winter. In the winter, you can focus on other things. It's always about people focus on what they don't have or what's going wrong versus, you know, having some gratitude on what's going right and what they do have control over. So if it's cold, then you focus on other aspects. If you can't go outside and run, then let's focus on some strength work. If you can focus on mobility, you can focus on recovery. We can always be doing something. But I think the hard part that I always struggle with, you know, with most people that I talk to and clients and people that I've advised or worked with, is we seek preferred intention. So we want to do things that are preferred always, right? It's cold. I hate it. It's cold. I want it hot. Like, I want to be, you know, I don't want to eat this. Okay, well, but it's a slippery slope when you're talking about like, well, it's cold. All right, I'm just going to eat whatever I want because screw it, it's winter, and then I'll just eat better in the spring. You need to focus. There's certain things that have to stay consistent across the board. You can have some variance in it, but you have to have an underlying commitment to yourself that you're going to maintain that as you kind of move across the process. So, yeah, I mean, I think during the winter, we all love to enjoy the different foods, et cetera, but I think we have to be consistent. It's harder because the days are shorter. No one likes when it gets dark early, you know, and all these different things. But during that period is really where you can set yourself apart. That's where really the growth is, because you're doing things when it's challenging. So we talk about those micro stressors and the stress inoculation. It doesn't have to be acute and intense and one period. It could just be an overall overarching theme that during the course, when I'm doing things that are very hard during the winter that I usually would not do, because I'd usually just say, no, I'm not going to train. I'm just going to eat whatever I want. I'll catch up in February and March when it starts to warm up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're cutting ourselves short. You know, we forget about how much time we have on this earth, you know, and making the most of it. And I think not until people are put in a situation where they understand their mortality or they understand their quality of life can be forever diminished or affected, that they make these life changes. And then people think they're crazy. And the only reason people rationalize, oh, they're doing that now, is because, oh, they almost died or they had a disease. That's good for him. He's doing that. And he stays consistent. And it doesn't really make people change. It's just until you personally are affected by it, mm-hmm. or someone you love, have to make that. And it's unfortunate, but that's how a lot of us are, because we're just like, it doesn't affect me. I want to be comfortable. I want to relax. I want to be happy. But happiness is described at this point by comfort versus strength and resilience and having the confidence to be able to go through life, understand that you can face any obstacle and you can do those things. People, that should be happiness, the ability to have that. But right now, happiness is, I just want to eat food that makes me feel good, fills my belly. I want to just lie around and watch TV and hang out, you know? Yeah. And it's the culture that is always a challenge, but that's why I'm drawn to those that have gone through a lot. Like a lot of those people that are on, they're listening to this podcast, I'm huge fans of, you know, I might not know them, but just what they've gone through and the fact that you've gone through adversity, I have a huge amount of respect for them. I have a huge amount of reverence for their ability to say, you know what, I'm going to take control of my life and I'm going to do it. And they're listening to your podcast because they want knowledge. They want inspiration. They want affirmation that they're on the right path. It's huge. I mean, those are, if you're like, what are your kind of people? Those are my kind of people.
Yeah.
Right.
That's great. That's great. And given that, I love that you, because what you're doing with people, and whether it's a movie star or it's you're creating a new program for Center, you are putting that information into a practice and you're showing the results, which is that is like that embodied knowledge, which people are really drawn to. They respect it. They see it. So we'll link your Instagram in this podcast, but you should go, just because it's an inspiring Instagram. You're always posting something, some different type of movement or somebody you're working with. And you see that and you're like, whenever I feel like I've been really lazy and I see an account like that, I was like, I got to get off my ass. It's time to go. What am I doing?
Come on. weapon,
you know,
bro.
There's a little more juice to squeeze because I love that. You know, I love the Rocky Balboa story. I love those stories. We're Americans. We love it.
It's the Freddie Kimmel story. It is not the Rocky Balboa story, bro. It's all you, dog. You have the eye of the tiger, brother. You have
eye of the tiger. Yeah, I just released, depending on when this comes out, I just interviewed this Marine, Casey West, who was given 3 months to live with terminal brain cancer, glioblastoma, and he's about to hit his 2 year because he was right. Like, nope, here's it's going to be my story. I mean, incredible, incredible story, but I want to know, because you have access to a lot of cool stuff in your house. You mentioned before we hit record that you have a gym, you have a recovery center, you have a cardio room. What are some of the things that you do to recover at home?
You know, for me, I do a lot. I've incorporated a lot more time for my mobility work, which doesn't require any equipment. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of that. I usually start my day. There's a lot of different therapies that I use. I love cold water immersion. I do the hardest thing first, which is the cold water immersion. There's two components to that. You know, I have the recovery aspects that we do. So the daily kind of, you know, protocol of maintenance. And then later on in the day, I'll do my resilience protocols, which is a little bit longer. And it's a little bit of a different focus point on doing it. But in the mornings, I'll do my cold water immersion, some contrast therapy with my infrared sauna, my mobility protocols. So I'll go through all my mobility work. And then I tend to work on, from a strength perspective, I work on the smaller things that I don't, you know, that you may neglect during an actual workout later on in the afternoon. So training my neck, you know, with iron neck and that kind of stuff, do a lot of core rotational work. And then also utilizing things like we talked about the PEMF therapy, the Halo. I use all their frequency sets. I'll use the hyperbaric chamber that I have and my red light therapy, et cetera. So I do a lot of things. That's why I have to get up so early. I'm an 0400 guy. So, everyone's like, what are you? Cause I have so many hacks. I got to get up early enough to kind of get up.
That's great.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it's just maintenance. It's kind of like my church. It's hard. I mean, there's days that you just rather stay in bed and relax and
yeah,
got to get up and do your thing. But I've been using a lot of the grounding mats lately, which has been amazing. Just because I don't always get the time because of my schedule to get out and really get my grounding in and my earthing in. But yeah, I mean, I notice a massive difference when I'm not able to do that. You know, say sometimes when I'm traveling, et cetera, and I'm not have access
yeah.
to things. You know, it's like it's when you're away, you're like, it's great. You're traveling, you're getting stuff done. But you're like, man, you feel the difference. I feel the difference, not only physically, but mentally. I don't feel like the spear is as sharp as I'd want it to be, you know?
Same.
And it's fascinating when you're just like, man, you crave it because you've seen it now. You've touched on that level. You know how you can perform. So when you don't perform that way, you're like, what's going on? You're like seeking ways to kind of find that. So, but it is what it is. When I travel, I try to do things that are outside of the box that are kind of like, hey, let me have access to things maybe I don't have access. So I think looking at things that what you do have versus what you don't have, what you can do with what you can't do is something that I think I've always been fascinated with. I used to, you know, I worked with an athlete. His name's Kyle Maynard. And he was born with no arms, no legs. And I don't know if he has an amazing story. He's done climbs. He did jiu-jitsu. He's done all these things. But, you know, I talked to Kyle and he's such an inspiring guy. And when I talked to Kyle, he's always like, he never feels sorry for himself. He never focuses on, why can't he just figures out a way. And it's just, I think that's where he has this inherent happiness and joy in him because he just appreciates what he has and makes the most of it and finds satisfaction in overcoming the things that most people would sit back and have feel bad about, you know?
Oh, man. It's all yeah. perspective. It's all perspective. I say that all the time. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll look at myself and I'll like touch my body and I'm like, fuck, I can get up. I can walk around. I can run. I'm living somebody else's dream that they would sell their soul for.
It's yeah.
That's it. And I do that a lot. There's a lot of times I check in. I'm like, oh my God, anything I want to eat's in a cold box over here. I got a little supercomputer in my pocket. I access any information anywhere, all the time, any video. I'm like, if we went back to 1492, people would be like, you what? You're not a king, bro. You're yeah. a god. Like the yeah. way we live today is godlike. And there's no – you have to do gratitude for that because where do we yeah. climb to from here? Nowhere.
I think that's where the challenge is finding that – when we talked about it, that's why I was drawn to you, brother, and drawn to a lot of the things that you talk about on your podcast and how you live your life is optimization – of our own potential is really the journey we all go on, because we are born alone, die alone. It's just the way it is. We're on the And why don't we want to optimize every moment we have? We take it for granted. If we said we only had 7 more days to live, if you had 7 days, look in the future, someone came back and listen, 7 days, this is going to happen to you. You got 7 days, dude. Would we spend it? I know there's a lot of people that spend the time, but they'd spend a day sad, right? And that's crazy to me. It's hard for me to understand, because I think there's a lot of people that would spend a day of that 7 just depressed and sad. Not understanding that the depression, that emotion is not, it's really just, it's non-existent. It doesn't really do anything. You have to just embrace what you have, make the most of it, and experience and really soak in every moment. And I think if we're able to live our life like that, what an amazing, like, could you imagine, no matter what age you are, to live the rest of your life understanding, just like soaking in every moment, like, you know, we talk about, it's cliche, like it's your last, but if someone was to come back and tell you that, like, dude, this is going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think about that context all the time when people are talking about new treatments that are gaining people like a couple months, and you'll have some people be like, oh, well, this new treatment, which irradiates the surrounding tumor and gives you 2 more months, are like, it's not that significant. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, if you told me, hey, you can go back and you can get like a week with your grandmother, like you get an extra week and you knew that was extra, tell me there's no price.
No, it's crazy, man.
Time.
It's all context, right?
Yeah.
It's whether you're talking about your kids, or if you want to have that emotional connection to your kids, if you're talking about your parents, your family, whatever, and you were there on the deathbed with them, and you're like, this is it, you're saying goodbyes, but someone goes, I can give you another month. You want another month with them? I'll give you 1 more month. You would freak out. Like, could you imagine?
Freak out.
Only you're like, a month? Yeah. I'll give you 1 more month, but you had to done this. Did you do this? You're like, I did do that. Okay, here you go. Another. Dude, you know how crazy that would be? But people, the context, don't just look at it like that. They're just like, a month, month's another month. Bro, every moment is precious, and it sounds crazy until, and people will make you, there's a lot of, especially the younger guys and kids will look at it and go, dude, months goes by so fast. Bro, as you get older, you appreciate it that you time. And you want, and that's for, I think you and I, we talk about all the time, you want to make sure that you are in optimum physical and mental shape so you can really enjoy what you have around you, right? You want to push yourself a little bit so that you can appreciate the moments. The moments don't necessarily have to be an hour. It could be a second, it could be 5 seconds, but you work your ass off for those 5 seconds. I mean, you look at these athletes like Usain Bolt, Mike Phelps, and all the guys, and they train their ass off for 10 seconds of work. Mm-hmm. And so that whole mentality, that greatness that you get, is sometimes the greatest moments of our lives are not a day. It's 10 seconds. It's 5. So you want to train, understanding that you're going to train your ass off so that you get those magical 5-10 seconds throughout your day that you're going to get because you're in the shape that you are, whether you feel better, you're more present, you don't have pain, you embrace family, friends, and moments. But in order to do that, you really have to buy into that idea that I'm training for those small moments, and that's what life's all about.
If you were able to wave a magic wand and tune all the television screens of the world into Channel Ralk, the Ralk Network, is that what we want to call it? Ralk News?
Yeah.
Ralk News. Ralk Cast. What would you say to people right now in the state that the world is currently existing in? One could say it's hard right now, but what would you say to the people?
I would just tell people that right now, it's all about resilience and your ability to overcome adversity. So for me, adversity, a lot of people are going through a lot of adversity right now. It could be financial, could be professional, you know, adversity work-wise, it could be a myriad of different things, but it's an opportunity. You know, adversity is an opportunity. It's the opportunity to overcome. And really, that's where the growth happens. It's really where the growth happens. So if you don't have, it's all comfort and all warm and fuzzies, you're not growing at all. And it's really not what life's about. So I think people are given the opportunity. It's a blessing right now. The challenges that everyone's facing, personally, professionally, whatever, it's an opportunity to get stronger, and it's an opportunity you're growing. It's a growth model. So I try to tell everybody that when you're going through it, because I've talked to some, you know, in my career, I've talked to so many different elite athletes and experts in their fields and elite military and elite stuff, and that I've gone through a tremendous amount of things. But I've also had the opportunity to talk to housewives, stay-at-home moms, and people that are just starting out, and college kids, and people going through overcoming. Everyone has a story, and everyone, I think you're not alone. We always think that we're alone through adversity, but we're really not. Everyone has it in their own way. So I think we can collectively come together a little bit on understanding, hey, we're all the same in that capacity. And do the same way we say we embrace the pain collectively, like we're all the same, we can overcome adversity the same. That person did it. You can too. You just have to commit to the purpose. You have to commit to purpose to do it. And I think once you get across that first line, it's a lot easier. When you're running, that first mile is the hardest mile. After that mile, you're like, okay, I got in the zone. You catch your stride. You're able to get it. Mm-hmm. Keep running. And I think that's the key, is that just keep running, man. Keep running, because we're all there running with you. Yeah. You know what I mean? We're all there running with you. Just, you may not see us. We might be on the other side of the fence, but we're running too. So stay with it, brother. Stay with it, sister. Like, we're there. So I think that's what I would say. In Hawaii, there's a saying called always can, which is, you know, if can, can. If no can, still can. You just got to get it done. But I think understanding that collectively we're all family in that, and we talk about like promoting kindness and promoting compassion, I think those are important, because you never know the struggles that people are going through. You know, you understand the small moments that affect people. Nothing, a wave, encouragement, and even you going through and maintaining the discipline and consistency, there are people watching you that if they see you quit, you know, there's always someone watching. Mm-hmm. So you figure out, like, why should I even do it? It's because people are counting on you. People are counting on you. And they look at you like Freddie, they look at you and go, listen, well, Freddie's doing it. Like, in that one moment, you could have turned the table for someone that made huge strides in their own journey, or someone who was just wanted to turn it in and give up. But they said, dude, I just go, and that guy just, he keeps going. So I'm going to take one more day. One day at a time, man. One day at a time. Just make it to tomorrow. Just one more day. And it's like one foot in front of the other. So I encourage people to understand, and is if you could take anything from it, it's just one more day. Just tomorrow. You want to give up? Just give up tomorrow. Not today.
Beautiful. Right? Beautiful. And then, because we're on the Beautifully Broken podcast, what does it mean to you to be beautifully broken?
I think imperfection is such a beautiful thing. Perfection is never, it's not attainable, nor is it desired. You know, I think the beauty is in the imperfections. The beauty is in overcoming things and getting good at things you're not good at. Beauty is coming to peace with yourself and being proud of yourself. Beauty is finding imperfections in others and supporting them through it. It's just, it's really, imperfection is really the desired outcome, right?
Yeah.
We are born, they always say, we're born perfect, but you want to die imperfect. You want to go through it and experience it and fall, get up, go down the wrong road, turn around, come around, make the, because that gives texture to your life. And I think those of us that are on that journey, and those of, you know, the people that you're, that are watching, are part of the podcast, that watch your podcast, that have gone through adversity, understand that when they've gone through and overcome cancer, when they've overcome different things, if they look back, they never want to say, I wish I never went through that. They never say that, which is fascinating, right? They always go, I'm glad I went through that, because now I'm this, now I'm here, right?
Yeah, more times than not, that's what I hear.
Yeah, and you see that. And I think a lot of people that do that, don't get me wrong, like if you never had to go through it, then you never went through it. But there's a reason for it. And rather than us look at it and being seeking to, you know, a way in which to, you know, seek that comfort, is understanding that that adversity is going to come and we overcome it. And, you know, if you're in the gym, you're working out, and you look around and you're not what you think you should be, just be happy with what you are and stay consistent down the journey. I think we look around so much at others and say, like, I wish that's, is that what I'm supposed to be? Is that where I'm follow you, stay in your lane, stay in your lane and appreciate, you know, where you're at. And I think if anything, that's what I would want to push out to people so they understand it. Cause you know, that's where a lot of the happiness, internal happiness is going to come. Most of the time people aren't happy with themselves. And there's usually a reason, because they compare themselves to those around them, or they have, you know, unrealistic expectations of what they need to do. But just embrace the moment, embrace where you're at, and understand you have full control and freedom of will to do what you need to do. And I think when we give them a little bit of a roadmap and help them navigate through that adversity, that's where the magic is, right? Let's take you to the magic castle. In order to get that, you need to make sure that it's going to be the windy road, not the straight road.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. And finally, I just want to say heartfelt thank you for being a guest on the podcast. I'm excited for people to hear just your energy and your vibe, and where can people go to learn more about your work and what you're working on in the world?
Now, you know, for me, a bit of a tech dinosaur, I'm trying to change that. People laugh. Freddie, you know, for me, like IG is pretty much my jam.
Great.
But yeah, if you contact me, if people want to learn more about my training protocols, et cetera, people want to understand kind of my methodology and approach, definitely directly contact me, and I'm happy to try to reach back out. You know, my goal at this point in my career is try to help as many people as I can.
Great.
So you, with my knowledge set and what I know, I'm happy to kind of disseminate that to as many people as we possibly can.
Awesome. We made it to 2%. Thank you for being a guest on the Beautifully Broken podcast. All right. Big love.
Love you, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a break from the show and allow me to get up on a soapbox. I want to spotlight Silver Biotics Wound Gel. This is a product that is an antimicrobial layer that helps with cuts, lacerations, skin irritations, and first and second degree burns. So it utilizes silver sol technology, which we've talked about. This is the ability to steal electrons from pathogens, making it more effective in the body. So the company has substantiated its claims with 420 independent studies, as well as 60 patents pending on this groundbreaking tech. So I endorse it because it works, but also due to the extensive research and scientific validation the company has done. So in an independent in vitro report, this is very important, we compared Armor Gel to 7 other similar skincare products, such as triple antibiotic ointment, the standard of care. The study focused on the kill rate for MRSA, VRE, E. coli, pathogens responsible for severe emergency room infections. Within a 4-hour window, Armor Gel completely neutralized the pathogens, and this was a feat that was unmatched by any other product in the study. So the Silver Biotics Wound Gel stands out not only for its performance, but actually its price point. So this is a must-have for moms, for coaches, nurses, doctors, anybody concerned about the body's largest organ, the skin. And in today's environment, I just saw a fact where MRSA infections are up 35% since 2020. This is crucial. So we just need to be prepared. Don't wait for an emergency room trip. This is something to have in your cupboard. It's under $20 and you get 30% off using the code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN at checkout. This company is giving this to you at cost by using this code, and they are not only a sponsor of the podcast, but they are friends, and I support what they're doing in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and please leave us a review. 5 stars if you loved it. And before you leave, there is one big way you can continue the learning and the deepening of this relationship we started in this very episode. You can go to beautifullybroken.world and check out our brand new website store. Listed are all the wellness technologies, the supplements, the educational courses that I love and I personally use. Most of them offer significant discounts just by using the link or the discount code, which is normally Beautifully Broken, and they do support the podcast through affiliations. Now, we have a brand new feature. If you want to see the beautiful faces of our guests and watch me unbox and review products, you can head over to our new YouTube channel, Beautifully Broken World. I do have to tell you, our OnlyFans page is under construction, so stand by for that. This last announcement is from my vast team of internet lawyers. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only. By listening, you agree not to use the information found here as medical advice to treat any medical condition in yourself or others, and you're always going to consult your physician for any medical issues that you may be having. My closing, the world is shifting. We need you at your very best, so please take the steps to always be upgrading. Remember, while life can be painful, putting the pieces back together is a beautiful process. I love you. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel. Big love.